Morning.
Good morning.
So in keeping with our lessons for the end of each month, the theme is God's unchanging plan. That God has always been consistent in everything He says and does, and that includes His Word. Today I've titled the lesson, Where in the Church, Where the Strong Love the Weak. And I think about this because Paul, in throughout scriptures, there's emphasis on weak and strong. And we're not talking about physical here. We're talking about spiritual. And I just thought about this, how I would present the lesson in beginning is, how do you view yourself as a follower of Jesus? Are you strong? Or are you weak? Does it really matter in thinking? Does it really matter whether we are super strong, spiritually speaking, or we are weak, spiritually speaking? Under my studies, it appears that there'll always be weak and strong people in the faith. That's just the way it is. Now, most of us would like to think we're strong. We don't want to be ever considered weak. Whoever wants to think that they go to worship God and they're a weakling spiritually, or that they can't be used by God. But one of the things that I think about is when Paul wrote what he wrote here in Romans 15. In verse 1 he says, "We who are strong ought to have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves." And I want to emphasize, and not to please ourselves. It's so easy to go down the road and think that you're fine before God. I am strong before God. And that's a great place to be. But what's interesting about the Bible is it doesn't stop there. If you think you are strong in the faith, where does that lead? To bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Because it's easy to go down that road as a Christian. So I have a couple points today to point out that I thought about, and I pray that this can be conveyed wisely. But one of the points is that God chooses the weak. Really? You know, when we think about this, God goes and reaches out to people that are weak. And for the Christian, if you're strong, there's a duty involved. Paul says we need to bear with the failings of the weak. Are we making a judgment that you're strong and I'm weak, or you're weak and I'm strong? There's something about when you're strong, and we'll get into this, we need to see. And then being able to glorify God together as a church. When you're a spiritual, strong, faithful Christian, enabling to bear with people's failings, it's very crucial before God that we recognize, again, that God chooses the weak things in the world to shame the strong. Even if you think you're super strong and you're doing awesome spiritually and you're just, everything's properly affecting you just the right way and everything's good in your life and nothing's going bad at all, we have to recognize, to keep being strong, that at one time we were all weak. Even the best of us in this room, the strongest of us, at one time were weak. We chose, God did this. What part of God choosing us did we have in the sense that, yes, we have the responsibility to seek Him, to reach out to Him, though He's not far from every one of us in Acts 17:30, we still have to recognize that despite all of our failures in life, the struggles, and even our weaknesses, that God chose us. And in Romans 5, 6 through 8, He talks about that even when we were sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. So that we have to recognize, and this is important for anyone who isn't a Christian, but even those who pursue year in and year out as proclaimers of Christ, we have to always remember where we came from. And so ultimately, God does the rescuing, and He rescues us from pride because we had no power to save ourselves. There's nobody here good enough to earn the salvation that God's offered us, no matter how strong we may be. And so God chooses the weak. This is people. God chooses the weak, not just weaklings in the sense of physically weak, but in Matthew 3:5, He says, right when we went through the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus, first thing He says is, blessed are those who, well, what's He say? He says that these people recognize that they need God. Poor and spirited people are those who recognize that they need God. And I'm not talking just initially to know God, but continually in their lives. Because those are the ones that will see the kingdom of God. Those poor in spirit, always a need for God. It's the opposite of the pride. And so God bypasses people's ego. I put the word ego because, I mean, years ago we heard the saying, ego means edging God out. This is what I heard years ago. Edging God out of the picture. Ego. And I think that holds true. The closer we think we're to God, we always need to be careful, right? And understanding that no matter how good we are, what is it about other people we can do for them to help them? And that's always that stance before God that nobody can boast or take extra credit in God's presence for who they are. If you're strong, that's a blessing to be strong. It's all about humility. And I did make that point that that thought is the children's humility, right? When Jesus said, unless you come to me like a little child, you won't go to heaven. You won't be able to be with God. Jesus said in Mark 2:17, I think this has some significance about, He says, it's not those who are in need of a physician, but those who are sick. And He says, I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Again, bearing with the failings of the weak comes recognizing that we also are those who are sinners. The best of the strongest man in the faith, Paul, when we read his letters, he recognized this all the time. He says, I'm the worst of all the sinners, right? He always points out that he went to Jesus. So Jesus was one of these people that, when I read the Gospel of John, he's always just meeting people where they're at. Jesus is awesome. He knows how to deal with people in a proper way. And to be like a Christian, we need to not isolate ourselves in religious pride. I think there's a temptation there when people are in darkness to hammer on the sins in their life. And rightly so. I mean, there's so much going on today, it's discouraging that political people are ungodly. We have things that are exposed now that we all know about. I don't even have to mention what the shameful do in disobedience. It's bad. We know this. We see it. We see it on the news. We see it in everyday life. We went up to a liberal state yesterday in Maine. And yes, things are rampant. Homosexuality is so rampant, it's discouraging. I can't, it's to me, it's shameful. Of course, being a Christian, we see the shame of that. And it's not picking on anybody. It's just sad that God says, you gotta remember me and not be hand. Eventually, He says, if you don't follow me, I'm just gonna hand you over to what ought not to be done. And so these things are real. But again, Jesus knew how to handle everybody's sins. This is where we can learn a lot from. And He wasn't self-righteous. He was not a self-righteous man. But some people in his day, the Pharisees, they were that way. We don't have any spiritual illnesses. When you recognize that you're weak, it's not always a bad thing. Because when you recognize that you're sick, you need God's grace more. People lock the door on God healing them many times. In Romans 3:10, they think they're good enough. No one's good enough. And pride is the blindfold. I made that's that statement. I probably should have put it in quotes, but I heard this statement. That pride is the blindfold of the soul. That if we're too good for the next person, then there's some pride there. Because we're all out after trying to help each other's souls get to heaven. It's not the physical body. It's not this that gets to heaven. It's the soul of a man. Each and every one of us possess a soul that needs salvation. And through God's, He chooses the weak, like I had mentioned. But we must choose who we follow and see our need for mercy. You can become blind like a Pharisee and not recognize the Savior. But then the second point is the duty of the strong. So if any of us are strong in this room before God, it's a blessing to be strong in the faith. I love being around faithful, strong, loving people of God. They just glow. But Paul states to the elders in Ephesus, "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus Himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" You know, when we're strong in the faith, that duty we have is to not shy away from putting ourselves out to other people. It's really easy to be introverted. But a selfless, sharing attitude, giving, give, give, give. It's hard not to be a hypocrite in preaching such a strong message, but it needs to be heard. Giving your time to somebody. Is it about you and what you want and what you want to do? Or is it about somebody else that needs help? God uses the weak to help the strong. Yeah. Amazing that way, that God works that way. Why? Because He said that harvest is huge. The spiritual harvest, right? He says that's in Matthew 9, that the harvest is plentiful. There's so many people that need help. But He says, there's not enough workers, or the workers are few. There really is few workers, and I say this kindly, and for me, I'm included in this thought. If you're strong in the faith, this is exactly who Jesus needs to help people. There are so many people spiritually lost. We need to speak up. We have to help people. We have to. It's not even an option to not reach out. Share what you believe with the lost person next to you. Hard work. And this is what Paul says, right? This is what Paul says. "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak." Hard work changes us. When you're focused spiritually on doing God's will, you're in a position where you're somewhat going to change. You're just going to change doing the work of God. And when you do this, it teaches us to love anybody, any person, from any place, with any problem. Think about that. Bearing the burdens of the weak. This is this point to that. You think about Jesus. You know, Christians are those who are followers of Jesus, disciples of Jesus, but imitators of Christ. That's what a Christian is. So when someone asks you, "Are you a Christian?" Think twice about it. Yes! Of course! Everybody wants to be a Christian in America. But thinking about Jesus, He was filled with compassion. He, you know, and I think, you know, filled with other people's feelings. takes a minute in their lives and thinks about how that person is really feeling. How are we doing, and how we put ourselves in a compassionate state for people? It's real easy for a strong, faithful man to overwhelm a weak, struggling person. But do you go to them and say, how are you doing? How are you doing before God? Can I help you? Right? We get so much service around. How can I help you when you go to a drive-thru? We're not a drive-thru. He put himself in other people's shoes. And again, take this to heart. Do you put yourself as a human being before God in other people's shoes? Jesus did. He put himself where he needed to be, not for himself, but for another person. He had to make himself like his brothers in every way, and that's ultimately the perfect example for us to follow, because he really did put himself for us to follow. And then, are you strong? Well, he says, bearing an obligation. The word's obligation in the ESV, but how one ought to bear. And you think about that, the failings of the weak, bearing with the failings. Well, it's hard if you're weak to bear with the failings of the weak, but I will say this. God gives us everything we need for godliness, and we do all have opportunity to always call each other to be stronger and grow. And so, we have that bonding debt. There's a bonding debt that we are to love, even those who are hard to love. When people are weak and miserable, they're always have problems in their lives, it's very easy to say, someone else can deal with them. I can't deal with them. But notice Jesus, can you imagine if Jesus did that? Can you imagine if Jesus said, Celine's enough for me right now, or Mo's enough for me right now. That's enough. I don't need to hear from him anymore. That'd be horrifying. And so I'm just saying that can be where people go. And our weaknesses, we can become weak and not bear with people. And that's what that means, to bear. Doesn't mean put up with people. It's shouldering the weight of another person's weaknesses. Shouldering their weight. Even if you're doing awesome, the whole point of being a Christian is to help another person become stronger and grow in God's kingdom. That's what he's saying. But then the third point is glorifying God together. So now that we know, weak and the strong, what our responsibilities are, that God can change people that have weaknesses. I'm not saying that we were all weak when we were in darkness. None of us was strong in any way, at least if we were striving to please God or find God, there might have been a glimmer of light in us, but God can change us. He can change us. And this should be an encouraging thing. This isn't to hype us up, but God does the changing. As we overcome challenges, you ever have a challenge in your life that you're struggling with? I think so. You become stronger, though. When you overcome something in your life, you say, nice. And you look back at the things that you have overcome in your life. That's a beautiful thing, to have overcome struggles in life that you don't have to deal with anymore as you mature and grow as a Christian. And then, so, you see, the thing is that reflection, it affects other people. Then other people are inspired to have greater faith because they see you're like, wow, this guy has changed. I'm very thankful for brothers and sisters here who have changed for God. I can see it in you. At least the conversation I have, it's a wonderful thing. We're not worldly talkers. We don't hype people up just for the good of their being here. We really talk about spiritual things to encourage one another to grow. And we can always remember what God's done for us and make our boast in what God has done for us to others. It's nothing that we've done. It's always about what God's done. And as our weaknesses become our strengths, because they can, Paul says this, 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10, that the church becomes stronger. You know, I've heard several things in the past, but some I've heard a brother say, the church can only grow as strong as its leadership. And in some sense, and there is truth to that. I mean, whoever's calling the shot, and the elders mostly, we don't have elders in the congregation here, God's calling the shots because Jesus is head of the church. We believe that. We come to Jesus. But it can only grow as strong as its leadership. But at the same time, if the weakest person in the faith is strong. Because Paul doesn't ever exclude, if you're doing horrible in the faith and you're struggling, you can overcome. God can help you. This is what we always strive to encourage each other to be, as followers of Christ, and trusting that God can make the difference, make up the difference in your struggles in life. You know, thinking about having strength, it's always about involving other people in your life, comforting others like Jesus. That's how we glorify God together, when we're empathetic to a person that's struggling around us. That's being like Jesus. When somebody comes in, a visitor, we welcome them. When we welcome him in, welcome to God's fellowship that we proclaim to be. Our Lord was crucified in weakness. And I think this point really, think about this. But yep, God's power raised Jesus in strength. You know, it's amazing. God allowed for his son in glory. I mean, how can you not be overwhelmed in your thoughts? In his glory to come down as a glorious Savior to save wretches. I say plural, wretches like us. But he did. God raised him from the dead in glory, in power. And this is what for us. I want us to understand that the weakness of Jesus when he was hanging on the cross impacted us to make us strong. We become strong because of the cross. Because of Jesus' weakness, we get to be strong before God. He chose not to use his power either when Jesus, from suffering or prevent his crucifixion. He could have stopped it all, but he didn't. And then you think about the power of God. You know, we don't always talk about God's power. If we do, we don't get deep with it. But it is amazing, and none of us can put our heads around the power of God. Amen. When I think of the power of God, I just think of all the things he's created, including us. And we like to talk about how God, even our insides of our being, our physical bodies, we can't even see the power of God that allows our hearts to beat. And we have no control over that. And even deeper, the spirit part of us, the soul. But it's interesting how, because Jesus knows what it feels like to be weak, Hebrews 4:15, he can sympathize with us, and we can approach God because we know the Son of God endured and went through hardship, even though he was God. So because of his time of weakness is what we are, and we are made strong. And I want to read this before the last part of this study, this thought. I do have comments, but in Isaiah 40, in verses 28 through 31, Isaiah says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." again, this is the spiritual aspect of what God, Isaiah, is writing. God never gives up on the weak. The strong have an obligation and a responsibility, but God never gives up on anybody. He gives us grace and sets us free. But again, the Pharisees missed this. The Pharisees welled up in pride and missed the grace because they didn't trust Jesus. So you can never be too strong for God in your life. Those who trust and wait for the Lord, they get new strength. It's amazing. Allowing them to soar like eagles. You get this picture, soaring like an eagle. We've seen, maybe some of us have got to see eagles fly over the cave, the cliffs. I haven't, but I've seen them on TV. And they run without getting tired and walk without fainting. That's all spiritual conversation. But God doesn't give up. And it's amazing that we can trust in God that way. All of us. And the invitation is simple. Compared to God, we're all weak. If anyone's stronger than God, let me know. I'll talk to you. If you consider yourselves strong, do we serve the weak? This is the question. Paul said we ought to bear with the failings of the weak. And that includes not looking after your own self in that. Christians help others become strong in the faith. That's a strong Christian. We're always out to better each other. And let us not be more like Jesus. Let us be more like Jesus. Let us be those in the church. We claim to be in God's church, His body, that we are strong and love the weak. And I ask this, are you strong? Be thankful. Jesus won the victory through the resurrection and through the weakness of His death on the cross for you. That's what makes anybody, any one of us, be able to be strong before God. But then, are you weak? Be thankful also. Stop trying to control everything and surrender to Jesus. If you haven't surrendered to Jesus, then you're all the way back to the beginning of the message that we too were weak at one time. And we have to recognize that we need God. We need God. And if there's anyone here that is not a follower of Jesus, if there's anyone here that is not a Christian, we hear the word thrown out there so much, please come forward as we sing the invitation song.